Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. Today, we're tackling a topic that honestly hits very close to home for so many parents, myself included. It's about something that, when you see the headlines, can really make your heart skip a beat: heavy metals in baby foods.
Oh, Adan, you're not wrong. There are few things more personal than feeding your baby, right? As parents, we spend so much time poring over labels, comparing brands, trying to go organic, avoiding all sorts of additives. We're just trying to give our little ones the absolute best, cleanest start possible. So when you hear about lead, arsenic, cadmium, or mercury in baby food, it's completely understandable that parents feel this wave of worry, maybe even panic.
Exactly. And I think it's important to start by saying this isn't a reason to panic, but it is definitely a very good reason to ask better questions. The key thing to understand is that heavy metals aren't usually being added to baby food as ingredients. It's not like a chef is sprinkling them in for flavor.
Right, because that's what a lot of people initially assume, isn't it? Like, is this company just not being careful, or are they using cheap ingredients?
Precisely. But they're actually environmental contaminants. Think about it. Lead, arsenic, cadmium, mercury, they can all be present in soil, water, and air. This happens for a bunch of reasons. Natural geology, industrial pollution, mining, even older pesticides that are still in the soil. And since all food, pretty much, starts in the environment, small amounts of these elements can make their way into crops, grains, juices, and even water.
So it's not just a baby food problem then, it's a food problem in general, but babies are just more susceptible because of their unique stage of development, right?
That's it exactly. The discussion needs to be balanced. Heavy metals in food aren't new, and they're not only a baby food problem. However, babies and young children absolutely deserve special attention. Their bodies are smaller, so they eat more food in relation to their body weight compared to adults. Plus, their brains and nervous systems are developing so rapidly during those crucial early years.
It makes total sense when you put it that way. I mean, their little bodies are just so much more vulnerable. A tiny bit for an adult might be nothing, but for a baby, it could be significant. And the idea that their brains are growing so fast, that's where the real concern lies, especially when you hear about something like lead.
Absolutely. Lead is one of the biggest concerns because, and this is crucial, there's no known safe blood lead level in children. Even low levels have been linked to learning difficulties, developmental delays, behavioral issues, and reduced intellectual function. That's why lead exposure prevention remains such a critical public health issue globally.
And it's not just lead, right? We're talking arsenic, cadmium, mercury. It's a whole cocktail of things that can be present.
Right. Inorganic arsenic, for instance, has long-term exposure links to serious health effects, and research has connected early-life rice consumption with higher arsenic exposure in infants. Cadmium can build up in the body over time, particularly in the kidneys, and mercury, which we often associate with fish, especially larger predatory fish like tuna, can be methylmercury. So, while fish is incredibly nutritious, choosing lower mercury options is really the sensible path.
It sounds like a lot for a parent to navigate. You want to offer all these healthy foods, but then you're hit with this information, and it can just feel overwhelming.
It can. But that's where initiatives like the FDA's Closer to Zero come in. This is a very important initiative by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, designed specifically to reduce children's dietary exposure to lead, arsenic, cadmium, and mercury in foods commonly eaten by babies and young children. The goal isn't to scare parents away from healthy foods, but to keep pushing toxic element levels as low as reasonably achievable while still maintaining access to nutritious options.
Closer to zero, I like that phrasing because it acknowledges that completely eliminating it might be impossible, but we're constantly striving to do better. So it's not an excuse for complacency, it's a commitment to continuous improvement.
Exactly. In real-world agriculture, zero isn't always technically possible because these elements exist in soil and water. But that doesn't mean we just throw our hands up. It means regulators, manufacturers, growers, and suppliers all need to keep working to reduce exposure wherever possible. For example, in 2025, the FDA issued final guidance on action levels for lead in processed foods for babies and young children under 2. These action levels aren't saying this is ideal, but they're practical regulatory tools to keep exposure down when complete avoidance isn't feasible.
That's reassuring to know that there are official bodies actively working on this. It adds a layer of accountability which is essential for parents. But let's talk about some of the specific culprits. I know rice has come up a lot in these discussions. How does that happen?
Rice is a classic example. The pathway often begins long before food even reaches a factory. Crops absorb contaminants from soil and irrigation water. Rice plants, in particular, can absorb arsenic more readily than many other grains. This is partly because rice is often grown in flooded conditions, which can make arsenic more available for the plant to take up.
That makes so much sense. So it's not that rice itself is bad, but its growing conditions make it more susceptible to absorbing these elements. And rice cereal is such a common first food for babies, isn't it? And then there are all those rice-based snacks like rice puffs and teething biscuits.
Precisely. And that's why the FDA finalized an action level of 100 parts per billion for inorganic arsenic in infant rice cereals. This was specifically to reduce infants' dietary exposure. It doesn't mean every child needs to avoid rice completely, but it means rice shouldn't be the only grain or the daily default. Parents can really benefit from rotating grains, think oats, barley, millet, quinoa, buckwheat, and multigrain cereals. That reduces the reliance on one higher-risk food category.
Oh, that's such a practical tip. Variety isn't just the spice of life, it's a key strategy for reducing exposure. And those rice snacks, I mean, they're so convenient, aren't they? Easy for little hands to hold, dissolve quickly. But I can see how if they become a daily habit, that's where the concern mounts.
Exactly. It's not about one occasional snack, it's the repeated pattern. Another area where parents can make a simple change is with fruit juice. It may sound natural, but it's not essential for babies or toddlers. Apple juice, for instance, has been part of the arsenic discussion, leading to an FDA action level of 10 parts per billion for inorganic arsenic in it.
And from a nutritional standpoint, whole fruit is almost always a better choice, isn't it? You get the fiber, the full nutritional matrix, rather than just a quick hit of sugar. For most kids, water, breast milk, formula, and age-appropriate whole foods should be the foundation.
Couldn't agree more. Now, let's talk about a common misconception: organic labels. A lot of parents assume that if it's organic, it's automatically heavy metal-free. But that's actually not the case.
Oh, that's such a big one. I think so many of us default to organic because we're thinking, okay, fewer pesticides, fewer chemicals. We assume that extends to everything. So organic doesn't guarantee heavy metal free?
Unfortunately, no. Organic standards are great for reducing exposure to certain synthetic pesticides, but organic farming practices can't magically remove naturally occurring lead, arsenic, cadmium, or mercury that might already be in the soil or water, whether it's geological or from historical deposition. So, while organic is valuable for many reasons, it's not the complete answer for heavy metals.
That's a really important distinction for parents to understand. It doesn't make organic food pointless, but it means we need to ask different questions. What kind of questions should we be asking brands then?
Exactly. The more useful questions are, does this company test for toxic elements? How often do they test? Do they test finished products, not just raw ingredients? Do they publish their standards? What action do they take if levels are too high? These are reasonable questions, not extreme ones, and parents have every right to ask them.
I love that. It puts the power back in the parents' hands to demand transparency and accountability. It's moving beyond just organic or natural claims to really understanding what's in the food and how it's being monitored. And honestly, food companies should welcome these questions because better questions lead to better standards.
It's a very healthy shift, I agree. It encourages cleaner sourcing, better crop selection, stronger supplier controls, more meaningful testing, and ultimately, more trust between parents and brands. Parents aren't asking for perfection, they're asking for honesty and diligence.
So beyond asking the right questions to manufacturers, what can parents actually do at home? We touched on variety, but let's dive into some practical, actionable strategies.
The American Academy of Pediatrics has a really practical and balanced message on this. The low levels of heavy metals found in baby foods are likely only one part of a child's overall exposure risk, but exposure from all sources should still be reduced where possible. And that's exactly the tone we need: calm, practical, and informed. The best home strategy, as you mentioned, is variety. Serve a wide range of fruits, vegetables, grains, and proteins.
Variety is so key. Instead of just rice cereal every morning, rotate with oatmeal, barley, quinoa, millet, buckwheat, or even mixed cereals. Same with vegetables. Don't just stick to the same sweet potato or carrot pouch every single day. Mix it up. Packaged foods are super useful, especially when you're busy, but try to balance them with simple, whole foods prepared at home whenever you can.
Right. It's not about demonizing root vegetables like carrots or sweet potatoes. They're incredibly healthy. It's about avoiding that narrow pattern where a child eats the exact same root vegetable pouch every day for months, especially from the same source. Fish is another great example of balance. It provides protein and nutrients essential for development, but families should choose lower mercury options and follow FDA-EPA advice for children and pregnant women. It's about choosing wisely, not avoiding altogether.
And good nutrition itself can be protective, which is a really interesting point. A diet with adequate iron, calcium, and vitamin C may help reduce lead absorption. Children who are deficient in these nutrients might absorb more lead, so it's another reason why nourishment and exposure reduction really go hand in hand.
Absolutely. It's also important for parents to remember that food isn't the only source of heavy metal exposure. Lead, for instance, can come from old paint in older homes, household dust, contaminated soil, older plumbing, imported ceramics, even certain spices, cosmetics, or toys. If there's a concern about lead exposure, a pediatrician can advise if blood lead testing is appropriate.
That's a critical point because children with lead exposure often don't look obviously sick. Lead can affect development even at levels that don't cause dramatic symptoms. So prevention, appropriate testing, and removing the source of exposure are the most important steps. It's about being vigilant about the entire home environment.
And I want to be really clear about something else that's important. Babies and toddlers do not need aggressive detox programs. That's a huge red flag. What they need is safer food, clean water, good nutrition, healthy digestion, a safe home environment, and proper pediatric care if exposure is suspected. Supplements, binders, or chelation-style approaches should never ever be used in babies or young children without qualified medical supervision.
That's such crucial advice, Adan. Especially in today's world where there's so much misinformation out there and people are always looking for quick fixes. For adults, detoxification support can be a wider discussion with a qualified practitioner, but for babies and young children, it's prevention and medical guidance, period. No guesswork.
Exactly. The positive side of this whole conversation, I think, is that parents are becoming incredibly informed. They're no longer satisfied with vague claims like natural or made with real fruit. They want transparency, they want testing data, sourcing information, and genuine accountability from brands. And that's a very healthy shift, in my opinion.
It absolutely is. It means we're all pushing for a better standard. Companies that embrace this transparency will ultimately gain more trust from parents, and that's good for everyone. We're not asking for perfection, just honesty and diligence.
Exactly. Parents want to know that foods made for babies and toddlers are tested carefully, that higher-risk ingredients are monitored, and that regulators and manufacturers are actively working to reduce exposure over time. Heavy metals in baby foods are a real issue, but it shouldn't send families into a panic.
So to sum it all up, the answer isn't to avoid all baby foods or all grains or all vegetables or fish. It's to reduce repeated exposure, diversify the diet as much as possible, choose lower-risk alternatives where you can, and most importantly, ask better questions.
Couldn't have said it better myself, Aurora. Education truly is the first step. When people understand where exposures come from, they can make calmer, more informed choices. For children, that means prevention, food variety, safer sourcing, and always, always pediatric guidance. This is where responsible parenting and better public health truly meet. Babies deserve the cleanest start we can reasonably give them.
Absolutely. So parents, don't panic, but don't ignore it either. Rotate foods, reduce reliance on those rice-based products, limit juice, choose fish wisely, support good nutrition, check other household exposure sources, and keep asking those brands what they're doing to keep toxic elements as low as possible. You're doing a great job, and being informed is your best tool.
Thanks for joining us on this important conversation. We'll catch you next time.
Take care, everyone.